Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reinbold, back again. And this is the House of Ephraim Show. Do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the Book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reinbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out, because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the Corn Patch. And you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on, and you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv, and we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service, and we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area, or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard.
Notice that they're priests. They wear kippahs, don't they? Head coverings. We wear head coverings. Our head covering doesn't quite look like theirs, does it? No, you know why? Because we're not them. Okay, our head covering does not look like the kippahs of that Judah wears. Not at all, any way, shape, or form. Why? We're Ephraim. Okay. So the fact of it is that there was a whole lot of things that were got passed down through the generations that were right to the church. As I have taught you, that the two candles that set so much of upon their communion tables are the Shabbat candles. That's what they stand for. Now, they, of course, don't know that nor care to know, but that's what they are. The priests, the Catholic priests, always have a, you know, they don't have a full tallit. They just have that little thing on the back, and that was the tallit that was worn in the day. So the similarities of all this shouldn't scare us. But just the idea, and because we are who we are, you're going to have people say, oh, yeah, well, you know, those witches burn incense. They do. There's no doubt darkness uses incense, but so does God, all right? And I want tonight to take you on this journey. This is going to take you some study, as all this does, out from under this piece of ministry, as you're going to have to study it over and over again. But we are going to do what? We're going to restore the burning of incense. Not only in the synagogue, and this is this week the synagogue for us, but it's also going to be something now we're going to incorporate into your homes and into your times of prayer. Okay? Turn, let's start with Exodus 25, the very first verse. Exodus 25 and the first verse. 25:1 of Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly. With his heart ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and chatham wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. Now notice he said sweet incense, all right? Now, I don't know if this room's big enough whether you can smell the incense, but it is sweet, okay? A sweet incense. Now, notice here it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. The whole thing is about God speaking. Amen? Amen. God says it, we're going to believe it. Amen? Now I got you right where I want you. Let's go to Exodus 30, the first verse. Exodus 30, the first verse. Exodus 31, meaning the first verse. Not Exodus chapter 31. Chapter 30, first verse. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. A chatham wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns, therefore, shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof around about, and the horns thereof. And thou shalt make it unto it a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof. Upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil, that it by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that is over the testimony where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn there on sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Now, before you get caught up here, so we go through this a little more. Now, we're talking about the temple, okay? This is temple incense, and so therefore don't think that, well, you know, you're going to have to burn this every time that you pray. And we're going to get into that and show you what you really need to be lighting the incense about. Now, can you light incense every time you pray? Yes, you can. All right? You can do that. Now, because I have to wait till I teach to be able to bless God, do things. I didn't want people coming into my home smelling the incense. So I use my... Now, wait a minute. Now, watch. I got to make sure. We need the camera out here right now. So the sweet incense of my cigar... Oh, my Lord, prophet, I don't know whether I can buy that. Well, you know, it don't bother me much whether you do or you don't. But when I pray, I burn incense. Now, do my cigars smell good? Nothing smells better as a cigar, okay? Will God honor that? It is smoke, isn't it? Okay? Now, we're going to read here a little while down the line, where we're going to find out what it is that God said to make the incense out of. All right? And then we're going to talk about what we're going to do about that, or what we may not do about that. Let's go now over into Exodus 30, and let's do 34. Now, back in the verses that we read, you know, when God again says perpetual, he means forever. Now, we're going to get to, and I've threatened this a number of maybe a couple of years, 3 years, maybe 4 years. We're going to get down to going through all of the law, okay? And we're going to talk about the things that bless God within the law, of which pertain to us today. And I've always told you, most of which can't, because the temple doesn't exist. Will we see the temple rebuilt? Yes, the temple will be rebuilt in its time. It will be. And then there's going to be other things, not all of which, bless God. There's a separation in all this, and I'm not going to start teaching into it tonight, but I just want, the main thing is to understand that this same design for burning incense in the temple will be redone exactly like it was in the days of Aaron when that time comes. Somebody say hallelujah. 34, Exodus 30, 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, state, onyx, and galbanum. That's a tough word for me. These sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight. Now that's what it's made up of. Now years ago, I had a scientist in Texas that got a hold of me. He heard about me somehow or other, like you somehow heard about me. And bless God, he told me, he said, I can make that for you. I said, oh, you can? He said, yeah. He said, I can. So he began to make and supply me with what he says is this. Now, do I have any way of knowing that? At least the Lord God tell me, no. And he didn't, but it sure did smell good. And so then all of a sudden, a few years back, he sort of disappeared. I don't know whether he died. I don't know. You know, he got raptured out. He may have been the only one. But anyway, evidently it can be done. I know there's no nose. I've had some big-eyed Jews tell, oh, you can't do that. Oh, you can't touch that. I said, oh, yeah, I can. And oh, yeah, I will. And oh, yeah, I did. And oh, yeah, we will again. So whoever we might have amongst us that's into this type of a thing that could put this stuff together, you need to get a hold of one of the guys and let them know who you are. And in time, we will begin to work toward that area, okay? 35, and thou shalt make a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered unto pure and holy. And thou shalt beat it of a beat of it very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet thee. It shall be unto you most holy. So, you know, guys, when God starts talking about most holy, this was so holy he was going to appear. Pretty holy, right? I know, that leads to the next question. Will he be appearing again like that? Well, you know, the Lord God and I have had the opportunity to see him appear in a cloud on 3 different occasions, all right? I'm very much looking forward to the time when he comes in that cloud and consumes our whole congregation. I believe one day he will. we have a bit of a problem at this time, and the word is holy or holiness. God doesn't monkey around with sin. When you get ready, maybe we'll be in line for that. I've never been told that, but makes sense, doesn't it? Sure it does. So we can hang on to that, and we can have a hope toward that. Now he says, and as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make it to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make it like unto that, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people. In other words, it will smell good, and it is sweet, but it's not to be perfume, girls. Okay? And that's what he's saying. He said, you know, that's what this is about. Now, the church today, they believe that the incense has been done away with and that our prayers have become incense. Some of you are shaking your heads because some of you may have been taught that. Well, let's go over to Psalms 141:2. All right? And this is the scripture that they use. Psalms 141:2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Okay? Now notice it says as. It doesn't say like unto. It doesn't say like it is. It says as. In other words, it's not. So the church decided that the prayers was the incense. And so now we don't have to be concerned about burning incense. Well, you know, there again, that's cute, but as you know, as an Ephraimite, the church missed just a few things, didn't they? Okay? So the battle, you know, when I first taught this thing years ago, the battle raged. We lost some people because they, you know, they were just, even though I taught this somewhat like I'm teaching it tonight, not with the same anointing, obviously, but the fact of it is, folks, if God's going to restore, did they once burn incense? Yes. Well, thank you. You're catching on quick. Then bless God, we burn incense no more, right? Right. Thank you, brother, for chiming in there. So the fact is that, bless God, if God's going to restore, then guess what is going to get restored? Incense. The burning of incense. Okay, let's go to, the rest of that says, in the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Of course, we you know, there again, we have Yeshua as the sacrifice once and for all for our sins. Amen? As I've told you before, I'll say again tonight, as the temple's rebuilt, there will be sacrifices made. Not unto as Yeshua's coming to put, no, not for the sin offering. There were many, and we'll study that, there were many sacrifices and in many ways, okay? So, okay, just, you know, take your nose and bend it the other way now. You'll be all right. Now, in Leviticus 16:12, turn there with me. Leviticus 16:12. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. Now, you know that there was a time when the priesthood had to go through that curtain, and it was called the Holy of Holies on the backside of it. Now, if they were sinless, okay, at that time, that they were to go in to sprinkle the blood, then bless God, they lived. If there was sin in their life, they died. Now listen to what he's saying here. He says, may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he die not. The incense. So when you begin to look at the importance, there must be something very, very, very important about this incense thing. It was important enough that the priest quit dying. Okay? So the incense was doing something because why the Lord said it was holy unto him. It was a holy thing. All right? You getting a hold of that? Hope so. Number 16:1. Now this is going to get a little long, but it's all right. We got to learn. 16:1. And you know, the thing that always got me when I started teaching this, and we started doing this before, numbers of years ago, was I kept pointing to the Catholics, okay? And and the church people, would not accept that. I said, what do you think they do? Huh? They got that, and they go down the, and you know, smoke, incenses are coming out every direction as they swing that thing around. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you what. Stupidity's something when you see it full blowing. Numbers 16:1. Now, Korah, the son of Issachar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Nathan, and Abiram, and the sons of Eliab, and On, and the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Uh-oh. We decided somebody thought they were smarter than Moses and Aaron, right? And said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. Mm-hmm. And every one of them that the Lord is among them, wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? That was a question. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Then he says, this do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. Now, the important thing here was that evidently this whole thing of them taking incense, okay, and you're going to find out later that that Moses also had his brother Aaron take incense, but he said burn the incense. So it was going really coming down to who it was that God was going to accept of the burning of the incense. Okay, now watch. And put fire in them, put incense before the Lord tomorrow. Okay, oh, I'm sorry, 8th verse. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself and to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? Question mark. And he hath brought thee near to him, and all my thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except you make thyself altogether a prince over us. They're not happy, are they? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer. 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censers. Sounds like we're going to have a duel, doesn't it? And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle, the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. I'll bet you that surprised the snot out of them, didn't it? And the Lord spake unto Moses and said, Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? There's compassion in it. Huh? Well, got to have a heart. Got to be love, doesn't it? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went to Dathan, Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. And if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them. They perished from among the congregation, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out of the fire from the Lord, and it consumed the 250 men that offered incense. So it came down to that, didn't it? Well, yeah, they had sinned because they'd come against Moses and Aaron, but they had also, he brings up the whole thing about the incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. Well, it should have been anyway. And Eleazar, the priest, took the brazen censers, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, now listen, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord. That's how strict God was. Well, prophet, looks to me like that settles it, doesn't it? Lest you be a Levite. Oh, wait, the story's not over yet. You're jumping ahead of me a little bit. Surely you wouldn't do that, would you? Yeah, you would. Let's go on. Now, it goes on to say, and Moses and Aaron came up before the tabernacle, 43, of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among the congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell on their faces. There they go again, interceding. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun. Now notice what was going to be offered as an atonement. incense. Okay? You got to know that. That's exactly what this was about. So, in the fact, because he said the plague has begun. Now, over in 47, and Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the Lord, for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. So incense played a great big part, didn't it? Now they that died, now listen, in the plague, boy, you're talking about something quick, were 14,700 besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Some kind of a God, isn't it? Well, there must be something powerful then about this incense thing. Well, you know, Moses could have said, look, Aaron, you run on in there and bless God, do the Pentecostal shake, and you know what that is, you know, when it, you know, one of them things. And you do that, and you'll stop it all. No, he told him, take in the incense. Get a hold of that. It's important. Let's go to 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings 3. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't want you to go to sleep now. 1 Kings 3:1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in the high places because there was no house built under the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. Now, so what we're finding out here is that they did this before the temple, okay? They did this before the temple was built. Of course, we know that after the temple was built, what took place. Now, Chronicles, go there, 2 Chronicles 2, 2 Chronicles 2, and we're going to do the fourth verse, 2 Chronicles 2, 4. Behold, I build a house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual shewbread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, now listen, on the new moons, and on solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever in Israel. An ordinance forever. So, And what I want to say to you is, you need to mark down the whole thing here about the Sabbaths, the new moons, solemn feasts, which are all the feasts of the Lord our God. Because that is an ordinance of God forever. Now, and you rightfully could be still saying, well, yeah, but you know that was just for the Levitical priesthood. Yeah, it was. But how many of you understand that, bless God, when Yeshua came, we did not have to sacrifice animals once a year, huh, for the remission of our sins? Things do change, okay? Things do change, and we're going to get to that change before long. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 26:16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For the he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. In other words, you're not supposed to be doing that. But to the priests and the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall thou be in thy honor from the Lord God. And Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while it was wrought with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Guess he shouldn't have done that, should he? Incense is a big-time, serious thing with God, evidently. And that's one of the points that I want to make sure that you understand, that this is serious business. And that's the other point is, that's the reason that I had to bring at least some of you far enough into this before we could get into this, all right? Far enough into where we have been for you to understand. I have preached holiness at you, okay? You know, it's about as much as you could have it preached at you. Bless God, we have taught you to understand. You must learn to pray. You must learn to fast. You must, bless God, learn to study the Word of God. You must get the sin out of your life, okay? So all of that, and as I said when I started this evening, all this has to do with a step at a time. If I was to have brought you together and dumped all of this stuff on you at one time, guess what would happen? No one would be here this evening besides me and Donna. Okay? Because you couldn't have handled it, because you've got to prepare yourself. You've got to come to that step to get to this step to make the next one. And that's where we're at right now. Pay attention. Now, let us go to 1 Peter 2:25 so we can help things out here, which I think most of you know this, all right? But we'll turn there anyway. 1 Peter 2:25. Now the whole thing was it that the king became a leper there the rest of his life, okay? Because he decided he was going to go in and burn incense. Bully for him. 1 Peter 2:5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, now listen, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to the God, to God by Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Now, so we are what? An holy priesthood. What? Yeah. Now this sheds a whole different light on this thing. The Levitical priesthood was the only ones that was allowed to go into there to burn incense. Now we're finding out because Christ came, did what he did, now we are of that, of a whole, the holy priesthood itself. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So now things are changing. But you see, folks, I don't think that, and I know that I've not been able to really minister yet, I will, to the absolute depth of faith to get you to understand the power that is invested into us, okay? We have been a powerless church for too long. You yourself know that. We've heard them talk the talk. We've watched them try to walk the walk. And bless God, nothing ever came of it enough to spit on us, I'm always saying. We have the power. We're going to learn to use the power. And some of you even here tonight are beginning to find out, I too can work the works of God. We're going to elevate these things, okay? We're going to elevate them. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Everybody likes to go there. Revelation, the first chapter. Hallelujah. Revelation 1:6. So we know that now, since we're in Yeshua, okay, accepted him as our Lord and Savior, that now we have become a spirit of the holy priesthood. Revelation 1:6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. There it is again. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So just more proof to that, okay? Revelation 5:10, just a page or two over in your book. And has made unto us our king, God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Reign. Have control. Okay? And has made us unto our God. Unto our God. Unto our God. God sees us as kings and priests. He sees us as that. You know why we aren't that to ourselves? Because we have never taken our rightful place within it. And that's the truth. That's part of what this prophet is going to do for you, is I'm going to bring you to the place where you understand who you really are and what you really have. Okay? Somebody say, praise God. Back to Jeremiah 44, if you will, please. Jeremiah 44. We're going to do and start in the 20th verse. Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings, and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And came it not unto his mind? Amen. So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations that ye have committed. Therefore is your land a desolate and an astonishment and a curse without inhabitant as this day, because ye have burned incense and because ye have sinned against the Lord. Now notice those two are together. They burned incense. So part of all this problem of being, being cursed was also due to the burning of incense. Now listen to me closely. Incense burning is for the holy. Okay? Incense burning is for the holy. Now, we have been made holy through Christ. I realize that. But the fact of the matter is, what got them in trouble, the priests, okay, was the fact that they were burning incense, but it was because of their evil doings, because of their abominations which they have committed. 23 says, because ye have burned incense and because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, not walked in his law, nor his statutes, nor his testimonies. Therefore, this evil is happened unto you as at this day. But the important thing, again, is to understand that both are mentioned together. Incense and sin. So it was important for them to burn incense. There was no doubt about it. They burned incense even at the time in which they were in great sin against the Lord God. But they burnt incense. Why? Because it was a command. What did God say? Forever throughout your generations. So they're participating. Now again, what you got to understand, folks, could it be that you burn incense and you sin, things could be worse than they would have been if you hadn't burned the incense? Well, yeah, I guess you could say that. And yes, that's the way it is. Why? Because this is a holy thing. God said, and it shall be holy before you. And when God starts talking about holy, folks, he's talking about holy. He's not talking about, well, bless God, you just be the same old you and everything's going to work out. No, he's talking about holiness. He's talking about people walking out of their sin, being able to burn the incense and able, bless God, to walk into the places that he wants us to walk in. There is a powerful, powerful thing about incense. There's a powerful, powerful thing about walking in holiness, all right? But we are going to strive, and not only strive, but do both. We're going to burn incense, and we are going to walk in holiness. Now, fair question. Well, I'm not quite where I need to be, at this time. Glad you ask. Now, since Yeshua came and left, sitting at the right-hand side of the Father making intercession for you and I, we have a pretty handy thing going on, don't we? You be very, 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 that's a lot of verys, certain that you pray and ask the Lord God to forgive you for all of your sins, known and unknown, that you have committed against his holy word, and through the name and the blood of his holy son Yeshua, let them be washed away. Now that has made you holy for the moment, okay? Will that holiness be forever? Well, that's up to you. Now, say, God loves me. And folks, that's the key to this thing. God wants us to walk in his power. It is important that there be a generation rise up in the last day called the house of Ephraim that would walk in the unadulterated power of God. Moses said, stand back, Aaron. God's about to open up the ground. Korah and all of his went in a shame. Even the children went in. So let's see. Could it be that Dad's sin got them all? Exactly. But what the Lord God wants us to understand is if we incorporate this stuff correctly into our lives, into our prayers, this can be something very, very powerful. Very powerful. One time, numbers of years ago, before any of you came along, I was burning the incense. Now, when I burn incense, Steve does this, and we still have some incense coming up, amen? But the congregation there in Fairfield, many times there'd just be a cloud come across, okay? And then I had some of the sisters, why did you talk to me? I said, then get up and get out of the synagogue. So that's simple enough. Well, why do you have to burn so much? Because I want to. Okay. One occasion, a man came in and he had a broken ankle. He knew it was broken, and instead of having it put in a cast, and he went to the hospital, had it x-rayed, and they said, yeah, it's broken. Well, his doctor was out of town or whatever it was, so he decided on Saturday to come to synagogue. He had heard about the prophet. You know, they call me a lot of things, but usually when it's life and death or something, they call me, you know? Real interesting, always has been to me. And he came in, and of course he came in on a pair of crutches, and boy, he was just doing bad. Well, I told him, I said, well, put him up there in the front row. Set him in the front row, and I got done ministering. And I said to him, I said, well, what happened? I don't remember what happened, but he broke his foot. I said, well, I'll pray for him. I started to walk toward him like where brothers are sitting, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and said, don't you touch that foot. I go, ooh. We got some serious stuff going on here, because I'm thinking about, you know, maybe, yeah. Well, I said, no, no, no. He said, fire up the censer, burn the incense. So we fired the thing up. We got it going, and he said, I want you to take that incense over. I want you to have two brothers hold this man's leg up where his ankle is over the smoke of the incense. Are you listening? He was running up and down that aisle there in Fairfield. Is there power in that? You see, the thing with me and God has always been kind of this. He has always demonstrated to me what things are all about. And he showed me on that day, I never said the name of Yeshua. I didn't say be healed. May there be a miracle come in his life. He said, just put his foot over the top of the smoke of the incense bowl. And God healed him instantly. What kind of a God is this, folks? He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. Now, after something like that, it would be a little difficult for you or anybody else to come to this prophet and argue with me about incense, right? Because I had seen with my own two eyes the power, and I really, even though I had taught it, studied it, believed it and did it, I really didn't understand the power that went with it until that day. Now, I suppose somebody wants to be smoked. Amen? Well, we'll see about that as we get to that. Quite a scene, isn't it? Some kind of God, isn't he? Is there anything he can't do? No. No. I think there's a lot of things to be said about this living God. All good, of course. But the thing that I know, folks, we don't know enough about all of this. And that's the reason why we've sort of been left out in the cold. As I have taught you, revelation knowledge can come from only real prophets. Prophets that bless God that are more than just a prophet. It comes at a time within a generation, hallelujah, of which the Lord God is about to make a great move. I can't think of any better time, can you? Any better moment than where we're at now. Hallelujah. Shekundrabaka. Oh, I get excited about this God that we serve, okay? Now, let's see. It says because, 23, let's read there. Because ye have burned incense and because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor walked in his statutes, nor walked in the testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you as at this day. So the deduction that I came to after that day with the man with the broken ankle, and by the way, he couldn't even walk on it. He was running on it, and he came back the next Saturday to show us the x-ray where God had healed him, and there wasn't any broke place there, and he had the other one where it was broken. So the conclusion I came to very quickly was, wow. Now, I suppose, prophet, everybody had something wrong with them. They either stuck their foot, their arm, their leg, their head, huh? Over that incident. Never have done it again. You haven't. Now, God didn't tell me to. He's never spoken to me. Do you think we will? Oh, I have no doubt we won't. But you see, it's important for God to be able to show us, reveal to us who he is, so that we can be encouraged. So we too, you remember me talking to you how important it was when we were talking about using the angels and putting them to work and the words that I said, you got to get started practicing, right? And some of you did. Well, most of you, I think, did. Maybe all of you. And bless God, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But then it became where it worked more than it didn't. And then one day, and I'm not sure if any of you are all the way there yet or not, you may be, it works all the time. Well, see, the whole thing with the power of this incense smoke that comes up off the incense, which is sweet, is the same thing. There again, I'm not saying that every time you have a hangnail, you stick your toe into the, make sure you don't get too far down in there, by the way. That gets hot. That's about all I need, isn't it? Well, prophet, you said do it. Now I burnt my toe. I get blamed for everything, folks. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. Let's go to Malachi. Malachi, the name of one of our grandsons, Malachi. Malachi 1. Hallelujah. Malachi 1:6. And a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts. Unto you, O priests, that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have you polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God, that ye will be gracious unto us. This hath been your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that will shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Now this is where we're coming in, okay? He's talking about now. Now listen, from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among them Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, say amen.
Amen,
and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord God of hosts. Say, I am an Ephraimite.
I
am who the Lord God
is speaking of.
Now, I guess I could have read that and 5 minutes, we could have shut the lights off and gone home, right? Because really, that's all we needed. But you got, you know, you have to have some groundwork, and I did that. But isn't that wild? Isn't that so wild that that's placed right there for us? Because why? They sinned in everything that they were doing at the time. Lord said, all right, boys, let me tell you what we're going to do. He says, my name's going to be great among the Gentiles. Now, what does the church that Ephraim think they are? Gentiles, right? Well, I know you know this study. So we are there, but he says, in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. Every place. So are we in a position of saying, okay, now here's the rule, or here's the law. You only burn incense. Now here's what I should have done. You can only burn incense at 2 o'clock in the morning. That'd get you all up, right? If you're stupid enough to believe that. The fact of it is, folks, it's any time and it's any place. And that's what's really, really neat about this God. Now, as I read to you before, and you don't want to forget, and I told you to mark down, you need to go back and study the scripture with that to be sure to understand it's new moon, it's the Sabbath, and it's the holy festivals, okay? Though that is an absolute. That's an absolute. We need to get that done. Now, are we burning incense of this holy festival we're having now? Right there it is, okay? It's being burnt, being offered up to the Lord God. Our hands lifted up to the Lord God, as we always do. We're sacrificing, and I know if you're charismatic especially, you understand sacrificing praise to God, which is true. Absolutely truth. All right, let's go over to Luke 1. Luke 1, starting in the fifth verse. It says, Luke 1:5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abai, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before the Lord, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They were walking in holiness, weren't they? They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot, his job, was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, the reason I want to make sure we got here, I want to make you to understand, I realize Christ was on his way, okay? But they were still doing this during what we call the New Testament writings, all right? And it says, and the whole multitude, 10th verse, of the people were praying without ceasing at the time of incense. And they appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar. Now, be sure that if you don't underline that you need to get this in your spirit, man. And they were praying, they were burning incense and were praying without the time of incense. They were praying. Prayer and incense. Say prayer,
prayer.
And incense.
Incense.
Say incense. And prayer. Got that? I hope so. So it's important. It's not just enough to light the incense up. There needs to be prayer. So if all you're going to do is make smoke, then that's all you're going to get done in the natural. You understand? You've got to pray. Now, I personally found that it changed my prayer life, and I did. Because there was something about it, and I'm one of these historian type of people. I always think back of what it must have been like. What it must have been like back in that day when they went up on a high place and burnt incense unto the Lord and prayed. What must it have been like being there with Moses when all that took place over somebody burning incense that could not burn incense? It wasn't given by God for them to burn. And then to look at that incense coming up in my home, and bless God looking at it coming up, and knowing that I am a holy priest in the eyes of God. That because of Yeshua,
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because he came. He paid the price. Now, I'm a holy priest, and so are you, if you're in him.
Hey, thank you so much, Prophet Deckard. Again, you can get a hold of us at the website, www.jewishprophet.com, and you can find out, again, all the... This-